Let us pray together using the printed words of our prayer for illumination printed in your bulletin. The Lord be with you,
and also with you.
Holy Spirit, shine light into the darkness, turn the night into day, give life where there is death. Help us to hear and proclaim your message of hope, that we might follow the risen, reigning Christ. Amen. This morning's First Testament reading is from the Book of Psalms, chapter 90, verses 1 through 6, followed by verses 12 through 17. If you wish to follow along, you may find it on page 547 of your Pew Bible. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn us back to dust and say, "Turn back, you mortals. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, or like a watch in the night. You sweep them away. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning, it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening, it fades and withers. So teach us to count our days, that we may gain a wise heart. Turn, O Lord. How long? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad as many days as you have afflicted us, and as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be manifest to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of our Lord, our God, be upon us, and prosper us for the work of our hands. O, prosper the work of our hands." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
One of Paul's prison letters. And the church in Philippi was Paul's first church in Europe. The city of Philippi was a Roman colony, and the people were Roman citizens, although most of its inhabitants would actually have been Greek. Therefore, the converts to whom Paul is writing would have virtually all been Gentiles. Just previous to where we come into scripture today, Paul has written that some people are spreading the gospel for their own gain and to make his situation a bit more dire, but that regardless of their motives, he still rejoices, for the gospel is being spread either way. So today, we read from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, verses 20 through 30, on page 550 of your New Testament, if you care to follow. Listen for God speaking. It is my eager expectation for my deliverance. It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in any way, but that by my speaking with all boldness, Christ will be exalted now as always in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, living is Christ, and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing, for he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well, since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. This is the word of the Lord. I read an article this week called 21 Cliche Inspirational Quotes That Everyone Needs to Stop Using Immediately. And of course, I read it after I had turned in the title for my sermon. Though my title wasn't on the list, it could have been. So I wanted to share with you some of the quotes from the list. Life is what happens while you're busy making other plans. You have to look through the rain to see the rainbow. Yesterday is history, tomorrow a mystery, and today a gift. That's why we call it shoot for the moon. Even if you miss, you'll land among the stars. If life gives you lemons, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Life is not about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain. And the list went on. Well, I can't help it. I like inspirational cliche quotes. I like them a lot. And sometimes we need something simple and cutesy, yet at the same time rather profound, to hang our struggles upon and keep us on course. Life isn't easy. And we are called as Christians to stand up against those things which contradict the gospel. And we are called to endure those things which may ultimately lead to furthering the kingdom and bring us in closer unity with Christ. Last week, John talked about Pollyanna, and how Pollyanna has come to mean something that is unreasonable or illogically optimistic. Well, we used to sometimes tease my mother and call her Pollyanna, and she didn't like it. But I would ask her, what's the problem? What, is your epitaph gonna say she was too positive? She was too nice? Not a bad legacy. And this is where we are with Paul and his talk of rejoicing in the face of possible death. It seems rather Pollyanna-ish, but it is actually the foundation of being rooted in Christ. As he said in a different letter to the Romans, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. And what matters to Paul is that no matter what happens to him, whether he lives or whether he dies, Christ is exalted. And that is what should matter the most to us. No one looks forward to suffering. Those of us here today are very fortunate that we are free to believe and we are free to proclaim that belief in Jesus the Christ. Not everyone has that freedom. Paul is addressing that in his letter and encouraging those who suffer on behalf of the gospel that they are united with Christ. Yes, we are fortunate. We are very fortunate here today that we don't have that struggle. But the world, our nation, and our individual lives are filled with suffering. I personally don't enjoy suffering, and I don't enjoy seeing others suffer. And I don't think of suffering itself as a privilege. The privilege is in knowing Christ. The privilege is in trusting that Christ is present right there amidst our suffering. There is joy in knowing that God is at work in the very midst of our suffering, but we can't often realize that at the time. I often distinguish between happiness and joy, and some of you may think, here she goes again, she's like a broken record. But it is so crucial to our understanding of ourselves and our relationship with God. Happiness is a circumstantial feeling and is brought about by external triggers. Joy is an internal state of being that comes from knowing who and whose we are. While we may not always feel happy, if we are in relationship with Christ, if we believe the good news, then we will always have joy. We will always have joy. Paul tells the Philippians, and he tells us, to live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. We are to live our lives first and foremost as citizens of the kingdom of God. And we are granted the privilege of sharing in the redemptive work of Christ. How do we do that? How do we do that? By loving God and loving our neighbor. Not as a cheesy greeting card saying or a cliche inspirational quote, but as a way of life with the very essence of our being. By extending ourselves to other and by hanging on tightly to God and hanging on to each other during our own struggles, suffering, and fear. By trusting that God is always at work, for God does some of God's best work in the worst of places and at the worst of times. Every day is an opportunity to live in the love of God and to live out the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is why Paul is able to rejoice. Though he was a Roman prisoner, he was freer than many of us. Freedom is not so much about our physical location as our spiritual location. It is not so much about our circumstances as it is about our very being. There are prisons of society, prisons of the body, prisons of the mind, And Paul reminds us in his letter to the Philippians that we are called to freedom through a relationship with Jesus Christ, that we are called to proclaim the good news with our words, with our actions, and with our very being. We do live in very uncertain times. Tensions are high, not only among the nations, but within our own nation. Some days it just seems overwhelming. Yet we are not helpless. We are not helpless. Every day we have the privilege of belonging to Christ, of rooting ourselves in that foundation and being part of the gospel message. What could be better? What could be better than to be a part of the message and work of Jesus Christ? There may be suffering, there may be pain, there may be unhappiness, there may be disagreements, there may be discomfort, but there will also be rejoicing and unbridled joy. Joy in joining ourselves to the one above all others who calls us to care, share, and love each other. And any day we attach ourselves to Christ and strive to live out the gospel is a good day. And so we rejoice. And today, well, to add to that list of cliches, it's a good day for a good day. Today is a good day for a good day. Amen.